This is Scott Beck with the Becker Private Equity and Business Podcast. Here are 15 to 16 stories we're following this morning. We'll get through this fairly quickly, and then we'll have short podcasts on a couple of these issues to follow. First, the markets fell yesterday with the S&P down 4.4%, the NASDAQ fell 0.1%, and the Dow fell 0.5%. The S&P has fallen more than 4% over the last 3 days. That's its largest drop since October 2020, which is just fascinating. It's the larger, broader market index. It reflects more broadly what's happening with interest rate hikes, and also concerns about the Russia-Ukraine situation. Second, futures point up today, and that's largely attributed to U.S. stock futures jump as Russia says some troops are heading back to base. And that's largely due to maybe a lessening of tensions in Russia-Ukraine. But the futures are pointing up this morning. They were up a lot higher, and then the PPI index, producer price index, seemed to indicate that there's going to be even more inflation. So that led to a pullback of some of those futures. Third, the 10-year treasury yield, when I'm writing this, is right about 2%. The 2 years are at about 1.58%. Again, amazing jumps in those over the last 6 months or so. Fourth, COVID deaths are averaging 2,400 a day. That is less than they were a few weeks ago when they were up to 2,700 a day or so. So that's good news as this variant starts to, this surge starts to temper down some and lower some. Hospitalizations have also plummeted, and this is really good news. This is our fifth note this morning. They're down to 89,000. 89,000 seems like a very high number, but they had climbed as high as 160,000 or almost 160,000. In November, they were around 40,000. We should get back to that number pretty quickly as this surge tends to decrease. Sixth, oil prices are close to $97 a barrel. Noticed it when filling up the car yesterday when gas prices here in Chicago were almost $4 a gallon. They were actually more than $4 a gallon yesterday. Seventh, gas prices are also extraordinarily high, although many of us saw little relief in our heating bill this past month. Russia is the largest exporter of natural gas in the world. And so conflict in Russia and Ukraine is very bad for pricing of gas, natural gas. The A story we found today is Elon Musk. Elon Musk, you know, whether tax reasons or other reasons, donated $5.7 billion of shares, of Tesla shares, to charity in this past month. There are great benefits from a tax perspective of donating appreciated shares. You don't pay the taxes of the appreciation, but you get the full benefit of the write-off. It's really sort of a bit of a scheme. But in any event, I still give him credit for donating $5.7 billion of shares. That makes him, for 2021, at least based on many counts, the second largest charitable donor in the world after the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Ninth, and a story that I think is one of the most interesting stories, Intel lost its leadership at chip making to Samsung this past year. But it's now buying an Israeli chip maker for $6 billion, building a new chip plant in Ohio for $20 billion. They suddenly seemed inspired again to become one of the world's great chip makers and the number one chip maker in the world. It's really fascinating to watch what's going on with Intel. You know, the famous CEO or founder of Intel, Andrew Grove, had written a book, Only the Paranoid Survive, about the drive and anxiety and effort to become a leader and stay a leader. It seems like Intel is starting to find a little bit of their verve again, a little bit of their excitement again. We'll see how that goes. 10th, Microsoft is starting to encourage employees to come back to the office. We'll see how long that lasts. I mean, this seems to be in bits and starts, jumps and starts, back and forth over the last 2 years, and we'll see how long that lasts. 11th, Bitcoin is up about 5.5% yesterday. What I am finding is, after investing a small amount of money in Bitcoin, that it's not for the faint of heart. It closed at 44,000, Bitcoin itself. I invest in the Bitcoin ETF. That reflects 44,000, somewhere between the range of 28,000 to 29,000 on the low end for the last 52 weeks, 69,000 on the high end. I must invest right near the high end because my portfolio of Bitcoin ETF is down significantly. And there's a movie called Dumb and Dumber that many people are familiar with. My investment in Bitcoin and cannabis reminds me of the movie Dumb and Dumber. The cannabis ETF I invest in is also near a 52-week low. You know, after reading up about it's going to be a green wave or there's great cannabis, I found that that's not the case. The ETF I invested in Amplifies, investing at CMBS, is investing at $13.13. To give you a sense, the 52-week range here is $11.03 and $36.96. There's a great phrase in Dumb and Dumber where one of the characters says, I have a chance about something. I won't go into it in this podcast. But, you know, it essentially my phrase would be, I'm not at the very low. I'm at 13.13 versus the very low was 11.03. In any event, that's the story of the investment in cannabis and Bitcoin. 13th, good news section. The Becker's Healthcare Podcast reached 5 million downloads this past week in aggregate, thanks to a whole bunch of help from a lot of people, including Jeremy Corr. In its first month, it had 143 downloads total. So reaching 5 million, getting to 350,000 a month, seems like just a great progress. Also, a special thanks to a couple of our great managers, Carly Zagas and Elizabeth Ingman, for everyday tremendous help on clients, webinars, and podcasts. 15th, one of the things I saw is a great article by Brian Soce of Yahoo Finance. He's an editor at large. He wrote after the Super Bowl what the Rocks, Arms, and the S&P 500 all have in common. He's talking about them both being so inflated. If anybody saw The Rock at the Super Bowl, his arms are huge, and his concept was that also the S&P 500 is also inflated. He said it's more likely that the S&P 500 deflates on The Rock's arms. But Brian Soce and the Yahoo Finance editorial team is actually tremendous. Whenever he follows or reads Yahoo Finance, we get a lot of material from the Wall Street Journal, Yahoo Finance, Becker's Healthcare, and a few other places. The last story we'll touch on, and we'll do a separate podcast on this, is private credit becoming a more important asset class for pension funds. And this is fascinating. Private debt often supports private equity sponsored transactions. It generally offers higher returns than traditional bonds and other debt instruments, but carries higher risk. Pension funds are increasing their exposure to private debt to try and find higher returns. A Wall Street Journal article on this morning, pension funds chase returns in private market debt. When you look at pension funds adding private debt allocations, you're seeing they've raised their targets on average from 3% to 5.3%. In an overall, and this is from the Wall Street Journal, the alternate asset class area, the allocations are from first to sixth in alternative asset classes. First is private equity, second is real estate, third is hedge funds, four is infrastructure, five is private debt, which is moving up, and six is natural resources. Kind of interesting to see where private or big pension funds put the money. In any event, those are 16 of the stories we're following this morning. Thank you for listening to the Becker Private Equity Business Podcast. We are always open to ideas for stories, topics, guests, etc. Thank you so much for listening.